We're holding on iron test, Elmwood Bays, three lines from the bottom. We mentioned yesterday a couple of bright, we had a Machlokas Rav and Rav Kahana about the case where the Jewish people are with one, the people who are coming to bring the Korban Pesach are exactly half Tomei and half Tohar. And what we do about that, Rav had said that the Tmeim make a separate Korban Pesach, Pesach Rishon that is, and the Tohar to make a separate one. Rav Kahana had said, we had two versions of Rav Kahana. One is that the Tmeim make Pesach Sheni, the other one is that the Tmeim don't make a Korban Pesach that year at all. So in that connection, we brought a couple of brises, each of which seems to go according to one of those opinions, although we said we can infer two out of those three brises according to all opinions. And the third one, necessarily, we had to say is only according to Rav Kahana's opinion and not according to Rav's. So now, Gufa, getting back to one of those brises, we said, and if the Jewish people are exactly half Tomei and half Tohar, halolo oisin la'atzman v'halolo oisin la'atzman. So we said the first brise that we had quoted, which fit according to Rav, was that the Tmeim make their own Korban Pesach, the Tahorim make their own Korban Pesach. But now here's the new part of the brise, which we're going to discuss. Hoyu Tmeim oidfilan if the Tmeim outnumber the Tahorim by even one. So yesterday we gave the example, let's say there were 600,000 people over there and there were exactly 300,000 Tmeim and 300,000 Tahorim. So now let's say there's 600,001 people and 300,001 of them are Tmeim. So then Yasa B'Tumma, so then we make it B'Tumma. L'fisha in Korban Sibur Choluk, because like we said before, the Svara, we don't make a Korban Sima, we don't make a Korban Sibur divided in two. So therefore, they all just do it. They all just do it. Batuma, the Tahorim don't have to worry about becoming Tomei. They don't have to worry about eating the Pesach Batuma. They're allowed to do it. Rabbi Lozab and Masya Omer, on the other hand, Rabbi Lozab and Masya says, Ein hayochid machrias at tzibur l'tuma. One individual cannot outweigh the tzibur and make it that they're all going to all be Tomei. In other words, in that case, he says, that's not enough for it to be considered a majority Tomei. So we'd still have to consider it exactly half and half. Shenema, because the pasuk says loy sucha lizbaya chas haposach ba'achad she'orecha. Now the simple, you're not allowed to shecht the korban pesach. Now the simple meaning of ba'achad she'orecha means in one of your gates, meaning in one of your cities. You have to shecht the korban pesach in your shalayim. In fact, it's interesting. In an earlier version of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, he counted that as one of the 613 mitzvahs that you're not allowed to shecht the korban pesach anywhere outside your shalayim. Later on, he took that out because that's not really a mitzvah that's applicable in all times. Anyhow, once the Beis Hamikdash is built, it's not just the korban pesach. You're not allowed to shecht any pesach. You're not allowed to shecht any korban outside the Beis Hamikdash. So he took it out. The Sefer Achinuch actually still has it, I think. Anyway, but over here, what we're darshining is the word ba'ach, we're separating the word ba'achad from the word she'orecha. So we're saying, lois sochal is ba'ach as a posach ba'achad, don't shecht the korban pesach. Don't decide what the circumstances of bringing the korban pesach are going to be because of achad, because of one person. So therefore, that's what he's saying. Therefore, so you have one more Tomei than Tohar, that's not a valid enough reason to make the Pesach Betuma. Continues the Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, Afilu Shevet Echad Tomei Yoshav Kol HaShvatim Tohorin. Reb Shimon says it doesn't even depend on numerical majority. Even if one whole Shevet is Tomei and all the rest of them are Tohar, Halolo Oysim La'atzman Ba'alolo Oysim La'atzman. Even then, you still have that Shevet is going to bring the Korban Pesach by themselves, Betuma, and the rest of them are going to be doing it B'Tahara. So the Gemara says, my time did Reb Shimon. Now, why does Reb Shimon say, where does Reb Shimon get that from? So the reason is kasava shevet echad ikri kohol, because Reb Shimon holds that every individual shevet is called a kohol, and therefore, so here you have that the kohol is tomei. So therefore, that's a valid reason for them to be considered as if they were half and to be able to bring the korban pesach b'tuma. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Hurius that said there it's talking about in connection with the par helam dover shel tzibur. If you would, we know we have the case where the Sanhedrin paskin something wrongly, where if people do it b'mezid, then they're chayav kodes, and b'shogeg they're chayav b'chatos. So if the Sanhedrin paskins wrongly on it, and most of the people follow them, then they have to bring a par helam dover shel tzibur. And if it was avodah zarah, then they bring the siri avodah zarah. Anyway, so the question is, how many of them do they bring? Reb Shimon says over there that they bring one for every shevet. So they bring 12 parim. Now, where does he get that from? Rashi brings from the Gemara over there. Before Binyamin was born, the Eibishter tells Yaakov, "Goyu kahal goyim yimimecha." There's going to be a kahal of nations that are going to be born from you. Binyamin was the only shevet not born yet. So therefore, one shevet can be considered like a tzibur, and therefore we don't push him off to Pesach Sheni. That's Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda says even more than that. Even if only one shevet is tamei and all the rest of them are tahor, yasu betuma. Let them go ahead and make it betuma. Everybody can make it betuma. That one shevet is only a minority. Doesn't matter. She'ein korban sibur choluk, because like we said before, Reb Yehuda, the korban sibur is not divided up. Rabbi Yehuda sava shevet echad ikri kohol. Rabbi Yehuda says again, like Rabbi Shimon, one shevet is considered a kohol. Vahavalahu palgo palga. So you have exact. So we consider as if it was exactly half and half. Now Rabbi Shimon had said that's a valid enough reason for halolo oisin laatzman vahalolo oisin laatzman to do like we said yesterday. Rav would say that each group makes their own korban pesach. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. The ein korban sibur choluk. You don't divide up a korban sibur. Therefore, the avdi kula betuma. Therefore, they can all bring it. Therefore, they can all bring it betuma. Rashi actually says an interesting expression over here that the tahodim can do that if they want. Meaning, in other words, it seems from Rashi's Lashon, we're not saying that they have to do it betuma in order not to have korban sibur choluk. We're saying if they want to, they could do that. Now, in a little bit further on in the Gemara. Further on in the Gemara, Rashi's going to mention a concept that it would be a gnai to do it that way, to separate one from the other. And there is a good deal of discussion among Achronim what the deal with that is. Why is Rashi over here saying it's optional? They could separate and make their own if they want. And later on, Rashi is saying that it would be a gnai to do that. So there's a lot of different possibilities. Rashi may mean different Achronim talk about it. Mar Shah talks about it. The Tzlach talks about it in his Pirush over here and in one of his Truvas. Rav Moshe talks about it in one of his Truvas, etc., etc. There's a lot of possibilities among them that maybe, in fact, you have two different opinions over here that are using the expression "ain korban sibur choluk," but maybe in different senses. Rabbi Yehuda is using it in one sense. The Gemara soon is going to be using it in a different sense. Or you could have that maybe what we mean is that they could they midaraisa, they could make it themselves if they wanted, but midrabanan, we don't want them to do that because it would be a gnai, and so on and so forth. A lot of different explanations. Anyway, the bottom line is Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if even one shevet is tamei, then we already have the ability to make the korban pesach betuma. Incidentally, there's a halacha that comes, an interesting halacha that comes out of that. Now, when it comes to the par helam dava shel tzibur, the Rambam paskins indeed that each shevet is considered a kohol, and therefore that they would bring 12 parim for that case. On the other hand, here he doesn't paskin like Reb Shimon and like Reb Yehuda. He paskins like the Chachamim that you need an actual numerical majority. So the Magen Avraham says, okay, maybe only when it actually says the word kohol do we say that each shevet is considered a kohol. By the par helam dava shel tzibur, it says that. By the korban pesach, by bringing the korban pesach betuma, it doesn't use the word kohol. But an interesting nafka minna of all this is, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, if you visit a place where a nes was done for the Jewish people, or for most of the Jewish people, then you say a bracha. Baruch she'asa nes li'Yisrael b'makom hazeh. We learned about it at the end of brachas. What happens if it was a place where a nes was done for one particular shevet? There it's going to depend whether we say whether a shevet is considered a kohol or not. If we say, as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are saying over here, that each shevet is considered a kohol for all purposes, then you would. If you say like the Chachamim, or like the Magen Avraham says that Rambam would hold, only when it says in the Pasuk the word kohol, then no, you would only say a bracha only when you're in a place where a nes was done for the whole Jewish people. And in fact, that's how it paskins in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Onward. Itmar. So now we have a discussion that was said there that we have a discussion like this. Again, Ho Yisrael mechtze tahorin or mechtze tmein. What happens, like we said before, the Jewish people are half tom, are exactly half tomei and half tahor. Now, we said before that Rav had said that each group makes their own. The Tmeim make their own Korban Pesach, and they can eat it b'tuma, and the Tahorim make their own Korban Pesach, and they have to be careful about Tuma v'tara and eat it b'tara. But here, Omar Rav, here Rav says something else. Metamin echad behen m'sheretz. What we do is we metame one of the people, one of the Tahorim, with a sheretz. And then that way we have a majority who are Tomei, and then we make the Pesach b'tuma. I says, what do you mean? Vamai? Why should we have to do that? Nevdu hani l'chodayu v'hani l'chodayu. Why don't we just have the Torah and Tmei and make it separately? D'homar Rav, we said before, halolo oisim atzman, v'halolo oisim atzman. We said that each group makes it on their own. So so why over here all of a sudden do we need to be metame somebody? Amri, so they answered, Hochab Mayaskinen, go and show you Tmein Oidfanala Tahor and Echad. The answer is here we're talking about a different case. Before we're talking about it was exactly 300,000 and 300,000. Here we're talking about it's 300,001 versus 300,000. So then in that case, he hochi havalahu ruba tmeim, nu, 300,001 is more than 300,000. So you've got more tmeim than tahorim. So nev du kula betuma. So why don't we just make it all betuma? Still, why do we have to be metame anybody? The answer is because Rav savalak Rabbi Elazar ben Masya. Rav holds like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Masya that we said at the bottom of the previous amud, der omer ene yochad machrias at sibul tuma, that he says one person can't cause the scale to be tilted towards tuma. You need a majority of at least two. So you don't have a majority of tmeim. So the question is, nu, in that case, the question goes right back to where we were originally. Nevdu hani l'chodayu v'hani l'chodayu. So each group should be able to make it separately. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, we're saying that each group is considered exactly a half, even though one of them is one person larger than the other. Rabbi Elazar ben Masya says that doesn't make them considered a majority. Fine, then it's exactly half and half. Rav already told us before, exactly half and half, then each group makes separately. So what does Rav mean? Why is there a case where Rav is saying that you need to be metame one of them with sheretz? So Ela Hokikama. No, what Rav means is like this. We're not talking about where there's one more tame than the number of Tahorim. What we mean is like this. Rav is saying, E ikatana de sava la katana kama dama pago pago lay avdi kula betuma. If you find a tana who holds like the tana kama, against Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who says the Amar Pago Paga Lay Avdi Kula Betuma, where the Tanakama had said that half and half is not a valid enough reason for everybody to make it Betuma, we still have to have that the Tmeim are separate and the Tahorim are separate. So if you have a Tana who holds like that, and Vesavalak Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer Ein Korban Sibur Choluk, and you also find a Tana, let's say you have a hypothetical Tana, who also, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that says Ein Korban Sibur Choluk, that you can't divide up a Korban Sibur, and therefore, so what are you going to do? So now, either way, you can't do it. You can't have them all do Betumah, because he would hold like the Tanakama, that you can't do that if it's exactly half and half, but he would also hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't make a separate one for the Tmeim and a separate one for the Tahorim, because again, it's a Gnai. It's a Gnai to do that. It's a shameful thing to do that, to make a public display of that we're being careful to stay away from you. If there is such a Tana who holds like those two opinions, then Metamen Echad Ben Besheretz, then the only alternative is going to be to be metame one of them with a sheretz, and therefore now we have a majority. Fine, we're not going to go like Rabbi Elazar ben Masya. Well, actually, even Rabbi Elazar ben Masya could agree with it now, because now we're going to have a majority of two. If we had before 300,000 and 300,000, so fine, we're going to be metame one of them with a sheretz. Now we have 299,999 tahorim, 300,001 tmeim. Okay, that's a majority of two. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Masya is fine with that, and we make the Pesach Betumah. But Rav is not saying that you should do that. He's saying if there exists a Tana, if you ever find a Tana who holds like those two opinions, then that's what you would have to do. Okay, I mean, you have the question, how could there be such a Tana? I mean, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly arguing with the Tanakama, so how would this hypothetical Tana of ours be holding like both those opinions? In fact, Rabbeinu Chananel over here explains that no, what Rav means, it's either one or the other. If you find somebody who holds like the Tanakama, who says that exactly that a majority of one is enough to make it Betuma, and if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Ein Korban Sibur Choluk, so then you're going to have to be metame one of the Tahorim in order to make it that you're able to bring it Betumah. Okay. But he doesn't actually mean that you should have to do that. In all cases, he means according to such an opinion, that is what you would have to do. Okay. That's all according to Rav. So what we do is, again, according to Rav, is we're metame one of them with a sheretz. Now you have a majority that are tame. Now everybody does it betumah, meaning that the tahorim do not have to separate themselves from the tameim. They just all go in indiscriminately and make the korban pesach. And if the tahorim become tame, or if the korbanos pesach become tame, doesn't matter. Now, Ula says, in that scenario, what you would do is something else. Meshalchin echad mehem l'derech rechoyka. Instead of being metame one of them, what we're going to do in that case, we would send one person off on a derech rechoyka. We're going to learn later on about the dinim of Pesach Sheni, that if a person is b'derech rechoyka, he's on a distant journey from Yerushalayim, and we're going to talk about there what that means. We have two opinions. One is that he's more than 15 mil away from Yerushalayim at the time when the beginning of the shechting of the korban begins. So therefore, 15 mil is the amount of time that a person can walk in a half a day. So therefore, if he's further away from that, then walking normally, he can't get to Yerushalayim in time. The other opinion is it just means that he's outside the Azara and unable to enter for one reason or another. So Ula says, what we do is we send one of the Tahorim off on a Derech Rechoyka. And now that way, so now you have, so if he's on a Derech Rechoyka, he doesn't count. So now you have a majority of Tmeim, and therefore you go ahead and make it Betumah. The Tosfos actually discusses the question, why should we do that? Why don't we better send one of the Tmeim off on a Derech Rechoyka? Then we'll have the Tahorim will be a majority, and then we make the Korban Pesach Betara. So Tosfos goes through a couple of possibilities. Maybe because Ula himself holds later on when we talk about Derech Rechoyka on Daf Tzadik Gimel, he's going to say that whole concept doesn't apply to a Tomei anyway. He's anyway going to combine with the ones in Yerushalayim. But okay, Tosfos says that's only when you have. That's only when the reason why Ula would say that doesn't count is because when he's in Yerushalayim anyway, he can't go to the Korban Pesach, he can't go to the Bais Mikdash himself to bring his Korban Pesach. He has to send it with somebody else. Here, after all, we're talking about we have Mechtza Tmeim. He would be able to make his Korban Pesach Betumah. Even Ula should agree that he should count towards the majority, even if he's away from Yerushalayim, on the grounds that he could send his Korban Pesach with somebody else and then get to Yerushalayim in time by nightfall to be able to eat it. So Tosfos says, no, it's true we would rather have the Korban Pesach brought Betara, but on the other hand, we would also, a better thing we'd more prefer is that as many as possible people should be able to make the Pesach Rishon rather than having to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So therefore, we don't want to send away one of the Tmeim and make it that now the Pesach is going to be brought Betara and all the Tmeim are going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. Instead, we want to make it possible, if we can help it, to allow those Tmeim to make Pesach Sheni. To make Pesach Rishon. So how do we do that? By sending away one of the Tahorim, says Ula. Okay, well then the question is, V'tam'enu b'sheretz, why doesn't Ula like Rav's solution? Why don't we metame him b'sheretz? The answer is kasava shochten b'zokin al tamei sheretz, because Ula would say that's not going to help. Rav holds that if a person is tamei sheretz, even though he's going to be tamei that evening, you can't shecht for him on Erev Pesach because right now he's tamei. Ula disagrees with that. We had that discussion before. We're going to have it further later on Daf Tzadik or so, that one way of looking at it is if a person is tomei with a sheretz, then it doesn't matter. He can tovel that day. He can have head of shemesh that night. And by the time it comes for the Seder, he's able to eat the Korban Pesach. That's Ula. Rav would say that not. So according to Rav, being metame him with a sheretz helps. That now he's not able to have the Korban Pesach shechted on his behalf. According to Ula, that doesn't help. He can still have it shechted on his behalf. And you're back to where you were. Okay, so the question is, v'tamenu b'mes, why does Ula say that you should send him away? Why not be metame him with a mess then? The answer is because then you'll be metame him for 7 days. Then matcheu atam echagigosei. Then you're pushing him off not only from bringing his Korban Pesach, which, okay, fine. If we have a majority tmeim, then he can bring his Korban Pesach. But you're pushing him off from bringing his chagiga. Not the chagiga sabo also, never mind that. But the chagiga's chamisha also, the regular chagiga that a person has to bring during Yom Tov. Fine, he has 7 days to bring it, but the fact is, if he becomes Tomei, then he's not going to be able to bring it at all during Pesach. So the question is, hashtanami matcheu atami pischoi, nu, and if you're matame him, if you're sending him off b'derech rechoyka, then you're pushing him off for making the Korban Pesach. Because the fact is, okay, now you have a majority of Tmeim who can make the Korban Pesach, very nice, but this poor guy is going to have to now make Pesach Sheni. You're pushing him off from making the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, you're not pushing him off completely. Efshar David B'Sheni. No, okay, so he'll have to make Pesach Sheni. Fine, no big deal. Which, by the way, the Hagoyes HaBach points out over here, we're going to have a, now, we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, the question is, if Pesach Rishon was brought B'Tumah, do we B'chlal bring a Pesach Sheni? We're going to have opinions soon that say that not. You only bring a Pesach Sheni only when the first one was brought B'Tahara. Obviously, says Hagoyes HaBach, our Gemara, our discussion over here must be assuming that you could bring a Pesach Sheni. Because after all, if not, then you're pushing them off from bringing the Korban Pesach altogether. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what? B'mes nami efshar da'ovid b'shvi, da'havale shmini shaloi, nu. So why don't we say the same thing? If we're metame him b'mes on Erev Pesach, so now that's the first day of his tumah. Therefore, the seventh day of his tumah comes out on the sixth day of Pesach. And he's tahor by the time it comes Shvi Shal Pesach, and good, he can bring his korban on the eighth day. He can bring his korban on what the eighth day from when he became Tomei, which is the seventh day of Pesach. He still has that one day to bring his chagiga. So you could be metame him a mess and still make it possible for him to do that. The answer is Kasava Ula Kulu Teshlum and Derishin Ninu. The answer is that Ula holds. Then now you have two ways of looking at it. We know that a person can bring their chagiga anytime during the 7 days of Pesach. But does that mean that there's an individual chiyuv each day? If you didn't bring it the first day, then you're mechuyev to bring it on the second day, and so on and so forth. Do we say that it's individually per day? Or do we say that all the days of Pesach are really all tashlumin for the first one? Ula holds like that all of them are tashlumin for the first one, in the sense, therefore, the chazi berishin chazi bekolu. So therefore, Ula is going to say only if a person was suitable to bring the korban on the first day, then he would be suitable to bring it during any time during the rest of Pesach. So he could have brought it on the first day. He didn't, let's say, because it was crowded or he didn't have an animal or what have you. Fine, no problem. He can bring it the second day, the third day, etc. But Ula would say, v'chol hecha d'lei chazi berishin. But if he's not suitable on the first day, loy chazi bekulu, then we would say he's not. We don't consider him suitable throughout the rest of Pesach. So therefore, so if we're metame him on erev Pesach, then on the first day of Pesach itself, if we're metame him b'mes, that is, then on the first day of Pesach, he's still tomei mes. Therefore, he's excluded from bringing a korban chagiga. Tosfos points out, now it's not as though a tomei can't send a korban with somebody else to the Beis Mikdash, But the chagiga has to do with re'iyah. It has to do with coming to the Beis Mikdash, and therefore if he's potter from it, then he can't send it with somebody else either. So what happens is, therefore, he was unsuitable to bring it on the first day. Ula holds, therefore, that disqualifies him from bringing the chagiga throughout the 7 days, even if in practice on the seventh day he ends up being tahor and would have been able to bring it. Because the fact that he wasn't able to bring it on the first day, according to Ula, prevents him from bringing it on any of the other days. Tosfos asks, in that case, what about with Ula's solution that you send him off b'derech rechoka? The fact is, he's not going to make it back to Yerushalayim in time for Yom Tov, so then you wouldn't just say the same thing, that he's not suitable to bring the korban. So Tosfos gives a couple of possibilities. First of all, m'daraisi, he'd be able to come, because tchumina only did abanan. And second of all, we could be talking about he may not be able to make it there by the shchita, but he'd be able to make it there, he'd be able to make it to within the tchum by the beginning of Yom Tov, and then walk the rest of the way on Yom Tov. Anyway, Tosfos ends up saying that we wouldn't necessarily say, b'chlal, when a person is unable to come, that he would be considered that he's nidcha from the chagiga. If he's tamei, or if he's lame, or various other things, where he himself, there's something in his body where he's not able to bring the korban, then we say, according to Ula, that he's disqualified for the rest of Pesach. But if it's just a side thing, the fact is that he's in the wrong place, then we would allow him to. So therefore, it could work out. The Tzlach actually gets into an interesting discussion over here. So what would happen? The Gemara is trying out the scenario, but what would happen after all? The Gemara could have asked a simple thing. Why don't we say, suppose that Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos? Then for sure, even if we said that each day is its own chiyuv for the chagiga, and therefore we could bring it the seventh day, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The last day, the day that he's Tahor, is Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to be able to. He's not going to be able to bring his chagiga anyway. Why didn't the Gemara mention that? So the Tzlach gets into a long, interesting discussion over here about that and about the question of about maybe indeed in that case we would allow him to bring it. So maybe actually in that case what we do is we'd be metame him the day before he talks about, and then maybe we'd be allowed to sprinkle him on Shabbos or on Yom Tov in order to make it possible. He gets into an interesting discussion about the question. When we said before, we learned previously on Daf Samach Vav, Daf Samach Tes, that you can't sprinkle a person with Parah Adruma water on Shabbos, the Tzlach says, first of all, maybe that only applies to the second sprinkling on the seventh day and not to the one on the third day, because that doesn't make him Tahor yet anyway. So maybe you would be allowed to do that one on Shabbos, he says. Second of all, maybe you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. So therefore, you can have scenarios where therefore, even in a case like that, Erev Pesach being on Shabbos, you could have scenarios where it could be made to work that where it could be made to work that he'd be able to bring his chagiga, were it not for the fact that Ullah holds that the chagiga can't be you can't bring the chagiga later during Pesach if you were tamei or otherwise unsuitable to bring it on the first day. Okay. Amalahu Rav Nachman. So now when Rav Nachman heard the Chachamim tell over what Ullah had said, this idea that we make a person go b'derech rechoika, and again, going back to this case over here, you have exactly half tamei and have to hurt him. And Ullah is saying, instead of being metame him with sheretz, which according to Ullah is not going to help because he's still going to be tahor to eat the Pesach that night, Ullah is saying that instead you send somebody off b'derech rechoika. So Amalahu Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman told the Chachamim, Zilu v'imru leila Ullah, go tell Ullah, Mansayis, who is going to listen to you? Practically speaking, how are you going to find somebody who's going to listen? De oko sikeu mashkene, who's going to uproot his tent pegs and his tent, verohit, and run away. In other words, nobody's going to want to be matriach himself to go on a derech rechoika and miss bringing the korban Pesach and have to bring a Pesach sheni. So therefore, better we should just do like what Rav says. So Tosfos points out a couple of things in it. First of all is that, again, if we say that derech rechoika means you only have to be outside the Azara, then it's not a big deal. All we tell this person is make sure you don't come into the Azara. You can still be in Yerushalayim and you're still considered a derech rechoika because we will prevent you from coming into the Azara. So then it's not such a problem. Then it's not such a tircha. Also, Tosfos says, not necessarily, so what does Rav Nachman want you to do? Rav Nachman does agree with Ullah's opinion that you could shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of a Tomei Sheretz. So according to him, Rav's solution of being metameh him with a Sheretz is not going to work. So what does Rav Nachman say you should do? So the answer is, Tosfos says, okay, Rav Nachman would say that we could be metameh him b'mes. Now we said Ullah wouldn't like that because he says then you're preventing him from bringing the Chagiga because he's going to be Tomei. He's going to be Tomei on the first day, and according to Ullah, that prevents him from bringing the Korban Pesach on the seventh day. Rav Nachman doesn't hold of that. Rav Nachman holds just because he's Tomei on the first day doesn't prevent him from bringing the Pesach on the seventh day. Good. So he'll be Tahor by the sixth day of Pesach. He can bring his Chagiga on the seventh day of Pesach, and that's that. So therefore, he's not missing out as far as the Chagiga. The Shagas Aryeh, I think, talks about an interesting point over here. We see also that a person can be Mekayim Simcha even without bringing Shalmei Simcha, because otherwise, don't you have the question that you're making him miss out on Simcha as well? If he's Tomei, he can't be eating Korbanos during Pesach. So he says, evidently, that shows that you can be Yotze Simcha. If you're not able to eat Korbanos, then you're able to equally well be Yotze in other ways. Okay. So that's that as far as that machlokes. So again, to recap then, so if the people are half Tomei and half Tahor, so Rav's own opinion, we said on Ayin Tesam Beis, or Ayin Tesam Aleph rather, was that the Tmeim make a separate Pesach and the Tahorim make a separate Pesach, all Pesach revision. Now we're talking about if there's any Tana who holds you should do such a thing, halolo oisim atzman, v'halolo oisim atzman, but he also holds that ein korban sibur choluk, that it would be a gnai to do that, then the only alternative would be to be metame somebody with a sheretz, says Rav, whereas Ullah is saying being metame him with a sheretz won't work, being metame him with tmei mes is doing too much because it bars him from bringing the chagiga as well, therefore you send him off on a derech rechoika.
According to Ullah White, what is the chesaron of doing tmei sheretz? What's up, Zoe?
Because it's not going to help, because that night he's going to be Tohar again. He can Tovel in the mikveh that afternoon. He has head of Shemesh. That night he's already able to eat the Korban Pesach. So therefore, Ullah says that even during the day, even while he's Tomei, you can still Shecht and have him in mind, and he's Yotze the Korban Pesach. Because the fact is, by the time you come to eat it, fine, he can't go into the Bais HaMikdash to bring it, but by the time it's ready to be eaten, he's going to be Tohar.
If he does it after, you know, I guess an hour before Pesach.
Doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't matter when he became Tomei, Ullah would say that as long as he's able to become Tohar that night, you can still Shecht on his behalf and he can still be Yotze Korban Pesach with it.
If he doesn't go to the mikveh,
that's not going to prevent anything, because the fact is he could have gone to mikveh and he could have had head of Shemesh, and that's enough for him to be Yotze. The fact that he would have been able to is reason enough, even if in practice he didn't. Okay, he can't eat from the Korban Pesach, but he's still Yotze and is not bringing Pesach Sheni.
So according to Ullah, that Sheretz doesn't work. Okay.
Exactly. According to Rav, a Sheretz would work. According to Ullah, a Sheretz would not work. The alternative would be to be metame him b'mes, but then that's going too far, because then you're preventing him from bringing a korban chagiga as well. According to Ullah's svara, that a person who's tame on the first day cannot bring during any other days of Pesach, even once he's tahor. So therefore, the only alternative is to, according to Ullah, is to send him off b'derech rechoka. So again, Tosfos learns, so Rashi learns that Rab Nachman, who objects to Ullah, is just saying we have to do like Rav, go back to Rav's thing and be metame him b'sheretz. Tosfos says no, Rab Nachman himself holds that the Tmei Sheretz could be Yotze the Korban Pesach. So Rab Nachman would say, go ahead, be metame him b'mes. That won't prevent him from bringing his Korban Chagiga, because Rab Nachman will hold that even a person who was Tomei on the first day of Pesach is able to bring his Korban Pesach, is able to bring his Korban Chagiga later when he becomes Tahar.
What happens the last day, Shabbos?
So that's what I was saying before. That Tzlach gets into a long discussion of that and says that, yeah, in that case, we have to discuss. In that case, maybe actually we need to be Metame him on the day before Erev Pesach and be able to sprinkle and be able to have him finished in time for Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Or maybe in that case, again, it gets into different discussions about the kviyos over here, about the possibilities. What happens if Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos? So then it would come out that the third day, if we're metame him on Erev Pesach itself, then it comes out the third day is Sunday, which is Yom Tov. And he says, okay, in that case, maybe we're b'chlau, we're allowed to sprinkle him on Yom Tov. Maybe the third day sprinkling we're even allowed to do on Shabbos, etc. So you could make things work out then. Okay. Now, another machlokes, Itmar. What if most of the Jewish people, when it comes to Pesach, most of them are Zovim? Now, they can't make the Korban Pesach at all. Even if we say that they're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach with Tumah, that only applies to Tumas Mes and Tumas Sheretz and things like that. Tumas that are caused by touching something, not by Tumas Zov, where it comes out of the person's own body. So the Zovim for sure are not able to make the Korban Pesach. Now, you have a minority of Tomei Mes. What do the Tomei Mes do? So, Omar Rav, Oysen, Tomei Mesim, and in Oysen, Loi Berushin, Vloi Besheni. The Tomei Mesim are stuck. They can't bring the Pesach Rishin. They also can't bring Pesach Sheni. Why? Rishin, Loi Abdi, to have a Miuta. They can't do Pesach Rishin because they're only a minority. We know that to make the Pesach Betumah, you need a majority of Tmeim, and here you don't, or at least according to Rav, you need exactly half, and here you don't have that because you have a minority of Tmeim S. Basheni Nami Lay Avdi, they also don't make Pesach Sheni because Kol Hecha the Avdi Tzibur Berishin Ovid Yochid Basheni. Only if the Tzibur had made a Pesach Rishin, only then do we say that we make a Pesach Sheni. But Kol Hecha Delay Abdi Tzibur Berishin. Here there was no Tzibur to make the Pesach to make the first Pesach because there was nobody who was Tahar. Therefore, like Ovid Yochid B'Sheni. Therefore, the Yechidim don't make Pesach Sheni at all. So that year, the Tmei Mes don't bring a Korban Pesach at all. You actually have a bit of discussion about that. So what happens if there were Tahorim who made Pesach Rishin? Do we say that's good enough to be able to make a Pesach Sheni, even though those Yechidim were a minority? Or do we say that Rambam actually holds that no, only if the Pesach Rishon was made by the majority, Only then do we say that there's a Pesach Sheni. Otherwise not. So according to him, even if you had that, you had most of the people are Zavim, a minority are Tmei Mes, and a few people are Tahor completely, and they make a Pesach Rishon. Nevertheless, the Tmei Mes wouldn't make a Pesach Sheni because there wasn't a majority that made Pesach Rishon. Okay. I take that back. I'm not sure. The Rambam talked about a different scenario later where the Pesach Rishon was made Betumah. I don't remember actually if he addresses the scenario where the Yechidim make Pesach Rishon. I think he does, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Shmuel says when Rav's Talmidim reported this, that what Rav had said, Zilu Imru Leila Abba, go tell Abba, which is either, we've talked about before, either Abba is a respectful title for Rav, or the opposite, Abba is Rav's first name, whatever it is. Anyway, go tell him. How could you say that these Tmei Mes don't make the Pesach Rishon or the Pesach Sheni? What about the Pasuk says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael as a Pasach b'moyadei, my obviously. What are you going to do with the Pasuk? The Jewish people should make the Pesach b'moyadei. So you should have to have, that they have to be able to make the Korban Pesach. They should be able to make the Pesach Rishon. So what does Shmuel mean by that? He might mean by that, therefore, that the Tmeim have to be able to make Pesach Sheni. He might mean actually that what we do is we ignore the Zavim for this purpose. The Zavim are completely out of the picture. Therefore, the Tmeim Mes constitute the majority, and therefore they should be able to make Pesach Rishon. Amalahu. So when Rav heard that challenge from Shmuel, he said, Zilu Amrule, go back and tell Shmuel, ki have a kula zovin my abdisle, nu, and Shmuel, what are you going to do with that pasuk if everybody is zovim? The fact is, we know for a fact that zovim are never able to bring the Korban Pesach. Zovim and other people in that category, like Yeledes and Zava and so forth, where the tumor comes out of their own body, there's no question if the whole Jewish people were zovim, then they can't bring the Korban Pesach. I, v'yastu b'nei Yisrael, ha pasach m'mayadoi. Obviously, there are exceptions to that. So Ella, Kivin Delay Epsha Lay Epsha, it's impossible when they're all Zavim to bring the Korban Pesach, therefore not. Hochanami Lay Epsha said the same thing over here. Yes, it's not everybody is Zavim. You have the minority of Tmei Mesim. But nevertheless, Rav says, rules are rules. You can't have a minority of Tmeim make Pesach Rishon. You can't have a Pesach Sheni unless there was a Pesach Rishon. Therefore, they're stuck. I, V'yasu B'nei Yisrael Sa Pesach. Okay, obviously that has exceptions, just like you, Shmuel, would have to agree that it has exceptions if they're all Zavim. Another case, Itmar, the halacha is like Rav, as it usually is in Hilchas Issa V'Heter. Itmar, hoyu ruban tmei mesim u'mu'utan zavim. What about the other way around? The majority are tmei mes, the minority are zavim. So what do we do? Do we make a Pesach? So the question is, again, obviously the Zavim can't make Pesach Rishon. Obviously the Tmeim Mes make Pesach Rishon because the majority are Tomei. The question is, what happens Pesach Sheni as far as the Zavim? Let's say the Zavim are cured by and Tahor by the time it comes Pesach Sheni. Rav Huna Omer Ein Tashlumin LaPesach Abba Tuma. Rav Huna says there's no make up for a Pesach that comes Betumah. So therefore, the Zavim will not make Pesach Sheni no matter what, because only when the first Pesach was brought Betara, only then do you have a Pesach Sheni. If it was brought Betumah, then there's no Pesach Sheni. Rav Ada Ba'ava Omer Yesh Tashlumin LaPesach Abba Betumah. Rav Ada Ba'ava says there could be Tashlumin for a Pesach that comes Betumah. So therefore, it's fine. The Tmei Mes made Pesach Rishon. The Zavim, once they're cured and once they're Tahor, are going to make Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, "Name of Bahoka Miftigi." Well, would we have to say that Rav Huna and Rav Ada Ba'ava are arguing based on the following point? Demand Omer Ein Tashlumin LaPesach Abba Betumah Kasava Tumah D'Chuyah Hibetziber. Rav Huna, who says that there's no tashlumin, would hold tumah dechuya hibetzibur. Tumah is only pushed off by the tzibur. In other words, it's only with difficulty, it's only reluctantly that we allow it in the first place. So therefore, we don't consider the tmeim as if they were to hold him and go so far as to say, well, now it's as if this Pesach was brought b'tara and therefore there's a Pesach Sheni. Whereas we would say, whereas Rabbi Ada Ba'ava would hold, who says that there could be tashlumin, kasava tumah hutra b'tzibur, he would hold maybe that tumah hutra b'tzibur. So therefore, in other words, it's a complete heter. We consider as if these tmei mes were actually tahorim, and therefore as if the Korban Pesach was brought b'tara. And therefore, that's strong enough, therefore, to allow for the possibility of a Pesach Sheni, and therefore for the Zavim to bring it there. Do we say that? So the Gemara says, no, Amri. So they answered, loy, not necessarily is that the Machlokas of Rav Huna and Rav Adababa. Dekula alma Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. They might both agree that Tuma is only Dechuya B'Tzibur. So therefore, in other words, it's only reluctantly that we allow it. And in general, we still say that it was brought B'Tuma. It needs the tzitz maybe to be Mechaper for it, as we're going to talk about, as we talked about a few days ago, and as we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. We certainly aren't going to consider as if they were to hurt him. Over whole pligi, but the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Adarava would be as follows: Mar sava tara midchia tum tara madchia tumolei madchia. Rav Huna is going to say only when the Korban Pesach was brought for tara is that strong enough to push people off to Pesach Sheni. Tumah le'madchia, but if the first Pesach was brought for tumah, it's not strong enough to push off the other tmeim, the zavim, to Pesach Sheni. Umar Sava, whereas Rav Adarava is going to say after the Tumah Nami Madchia, even a Pesach that was brought for Tumah is still, Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. So it's not a matter of Hutra B'Tzibur. It's still a matter of Dechuya. It's only reluctantly that we allow it. But nevertheless, even that is strong enough to push the Tmeim to be bringing Pesach Shein. Okay, the Rambam paskins like Rav Huna. So therefore, in that case where the Pesach Rishon was brought for Tumah, then the remaining Tmeim are not bringing Pesach Shein at all. Okay. Itmar. Now we have another discussion. What if the Jewish people are divided into thirds? One third are Zavim, one third are completely Tahor, and one third are Tomei Mes. So now the problem is we don't have a majority of any one of those groups. So what do? Amar Mani Bapatish, Oisin, Tmei Mesim, Ainan Oisin, Lois Harishin, Lois Hasheni. Those Tmei Mes are not going to make Pesach Rishon, and they're not going to make Pesach Sheni. Now, as far as the Tahorim, obviously, are going to make Pesach Rishon. The Zavim, obviously, are not going to make Pesach Rishon. What they do as far as Pesach Sheni, we'll talk about in a little bit. But as far as the Tmei Mes, Omer Mani Bapatish, Oisin Tmei Mesim, Einan Oisin Lois Rishon Lois Hasheni. That year, those Tmei Mes are not going to be able to bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. Why not? But Rishon Loyavdi, they can't bring Pesach Rishon, the Tmei Mes, because Higdilu Zavim ala Tahorim, because there we have to add together the Zavim and the Tahorim. Now, obviously, this is, Tosfos points out, this is only according to Rav. According to Shmuel, that we said before, according to Shmuel, who said, after all, the Pasuk says, V'yasa b'nei Yisrael, as a Pasach b'moyadoi, so we have to always have the opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach b'moyadoi whenever possible. So according to him, if there's no Rov to hurt him, then fine, then you don't push off the Tmeim to Pesach Sheni at all. According to him, the Tmeim Mes will just make it right now on Pesach Rishon together with the Tahorim. But according to Rav, Ramani Bapatish is saying that the Tmeim Mes cannot do either Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. Berishon lo yavdi, they're not going to be able to do Pesach Rishon because Higdilu Zavim ala Tahorim. Then what we have to do is we have to add together the Zavim and the Tahorim. Deloy avdi betuma. Now both of those have this in common: neither of them is able to bring the Pesach betuma. The Tahorim not because they're not the Tahorim not because the Tmei Mes are not a majority. The Zavim not because they're Zavim and they can't bring a Pesach at all. So therefore you have a majority that cannot bring Batuma. Havalu Tmei Mes Miuta. So you wind up that the Tmei Mes are a miut, or miuta lay avdabirishin. And we already said before that a miut that cannot make Pesach Rishon. So therefore the Tmei Mes are barred from making Pesach Rishon. But Sheni loy avdi. Now, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, nitzrufu zavim and tmei mesim. Now, what we do is we combine together the zavim with the tmei mesim. Deloy avdi birishin. Now we have a majority of people who did not bring Pesach Rishon. So we're talking about even if the zavim are healed and cured by the time it comes Pesach Sheni. But so now we have a large group. Now we have two thirds of the people who did not bring Pesach Rishon, Havalahu Ruba. So now you have a roiv, the Ruba, Lematchul, the Pesach Sheni, and a roiv we don't push off the Pesach Sheni. So therefore, that's it. The Tmei Mes are stuck, and they can't bring Pesach Rishon, and they can't bring Pesach Sheni. So here also, what we have is even though there was, now here you have again that there was a Pesach Rishon brought Batara, but nevertheless, since that Pesach Rishon, that Rambam writes, since that Pesach Rishon was not brought by a majority, then therefore, there's no Pesach Sheni. The Pesach Sheni is only done, says the Rambam. The rules are, based on our Gemara, that you have to have that the people who did it are a majority, and that it was done b'tahara. if it was done b'tuma, then you can't bring a Pesach Sheni. And also, if it was done b'tara by only a minority, also you don't do a Pesach Sheni.
So this case, the Zavim also would not be able to bring Pesach Sheni, right?
So the Zavim, right. Well, the Zavim are not, right, exactly. That's what we're saying. We'll say, but there's not really as much of a chidush in that. The chidush is that the Tmei Mes, you would think normally the Tmei Mes are able to bring Pesach Rishon, and then if not, then they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But here we're saying that even they can't, right? The Zavim also can't, but there's less of a chidush about them.
Right, because it was the Tmei Mes who came to Moshe Rabbeinu saying that we can't, you know, we were involved.
The fact of the matter is that any kind of Tmeim can be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If you have the majority of the people are Tahor and you have a minority are Zavim, then the Zavim do get Pesach Sheni. The problem we have over here is that the majority were not Tahorim by the first Pesach. The majority were Tmeim, but Tmeim of two different kinds. One kind where if they had been the majority, they would have brought the Korban Pesach, namely Tmeim Es, and the other kind where even if they're majority, they don't bring the Korban Pesach, namely Zavim. So now, because we have that one third, because we have one group of Zavim and one group of Tmeim Es, so therefore the Tmeim Es end up getting stuck. And yeah, the Zavim also end up getting stuck, and they obviously can't bring Pesach Rishon, and they don't bring Pesach Sheni either.
Does Gemara bring down somewhere Psukim that teaches all these so many complicated halachas?
Well, here what we were doing is we were going based on the concept that Tmei Mes can bring the Korban Pesach. We learned before. We learned from the Yasu Bnei Yisrael as a Pesach B'moyadai, and we learned from the word B'moyadai, that it means B'moyadai Afilu B'tuma. We also had previously the limud from Ish Nidche Ve'en Sibu Nidchin, but again, there it's talking about Tumas Mes. We don't have an explicit limud that it doesn't apply to Zavim, but we don't really need it since the Pasuk is mentioning it only about Tmei Mes. So we had a discussion. We had a sugya about it previously that Zavim and whatnot are in a way more chomer than Tmei Mes because the tumah comes out of their own body. Therefore, we don't have a basis to say that they should be able to bring the Pesach Rishon. As far as the question of as far as the question about who's chayiv in Pesach Rishon and who's chayiv in Pesach Sheni and that sort of thing, that we're going to get into later. We're going to get into the tzaddiks. In particular, we're going to talk about the question over there whether Pesach Sheni is tashlumin for the Rishon or whether it's an independent chiyuv. We're going to have a nafkamina over there, for example. Let's say you have a person became a ger between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Does he bring Pesach Sheni? A cotton became bar mitzvah between them. Does he bring Pesach Sheni? But here we're not focusing so much on that. Here we're focusing on the question of, in order for there to be a Pesach Sheni, the Pesach Rishon has to have had certain criteria. And based on our Gemara over here, that Amam summarizes, the criteria are, it has to be that it was brought B'tara and that the Tehodim that brought it were the majority of the people.
And all these numbers are, we say we include women for the Pesach Rishon. If they count,
so that we actually, that we discussed yesterday, whether we include women, that depends.
That's the first Pesach.
That depends what we say as far as the chiyuv of women in the Korban Pesach at all. There are three different opinions on it, which we're going to learn in more detail also on Daf Tzadik Aleph or so. There's an opinion that the women are equally chayiv in the men in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Then yes, we count the women exactly like the men. There's an opinion that they're chayiv only in Pesach Rishon and not in Pesach Sheni. And then there's an opinion that they're potter from both, and they're reshus, it's optional for both of them. So we said yesterday when we were discussing the three b'raises, If we say they're chayva b'rishon and reshus b'sheni, then we say we can count them towards the majority for the rishon, but not for the sheni. If we say that they're reshus for both, then we can't count them for the majority for either one. Okay. Yeah, let's go on. The Mishnah says, HaPesach Shenizrak Domai. Now, we talked about a few days ago, the whole matter of, we've been talking about the Korban Pesach, that you're allowed to bring it b'tuma, and we talked about the whole matter of Ritzui Tzitz, where sometimes you have a Korban, which otherwise would have been possible, but the Tzitz makes it acceptable. We have a Machlokas Tanoim over there, whether it's only when the Tzitz is on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, or any time as long as it exists. Anyway, so now we're going to learn more dinim about that. So the Mishnah says, "A Pesach shenizrak domai, if you sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach." So here we're talking about a regular Pesach that's brought b'tahara. We're not talking about any more the case that we were on until now, where the majority are tmeim and we're making Pesach b'tuma. We're talking about a normal case when the Pesach is being brought b'tahara. So you sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach. Then you found out that it was Tomei. What is the it? Rashi says means either the blood or the meat of the Korban Pesach. You found out afterwards that it was Tomei. Tosfos says not necessarily. It could mean only if you found out that the blood was Tomei. Anyway, hatzitz meratza, then the tzitz makes it that the korban was acceptable. Therefore, fine, in the case where the Pesach itself is tamei, you can't eat it, but nevertheless, the tzitz makes the korban acceptable to the extent that the person doesn't have to bring a Pesach sheni. Nitma haguf, on the other hand, if the person became tamei, eina tzitz meratza, then the tzitz does not help with that, then he has to make a Pesach sheni, because at the time of the zrika, he was tamei, and he was not able to bring the korban Pesach, so therefore he has to bring Pesach sheni. Mipnesha omru, and the reason why this is because the Chachamim said the rule is as follows: Hanazir v'oisa Pesach. That's the rule. A nazir, as well as somebody who's making a korban Pesach, hatzitz meratza al trumas adam. The tzitz makes a korban acceptable if the blood was tamei, and therefore it makes it b'dieved, the korban is acceptable. In the case of the Oisa Pesach, now this applies more generally to other korbanos. The reason why we're stressing Nazir and Oisa Pesach is because with them, if their korban was possible, then there would be major consequences. In the case of most other korbanos, if the korban was possible, big deal, you bring another korban. But in the case of the Pesach, if this korban is possible, he's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. In the case of the Nazir, it's even more serious. If his korban was possible, then he would have to start his nazirus over again and bring new korbanos. So in those cases, so nazir and oisa pesach hatzitz meratzal tumas adam. So if the blood of the korban was tamei, then nevertheless the tzitz will make b'dieved, it's acceptable, and therefore that his nazirus is over and that he doesn't have to bring pesach sheni. The inat tzitz meratzal tumas aguf, but the tzitz does not help if he himself was tamei. So therefore.
When you say the carbon of the what it called?
Of the nazir, yeah.
You speak about his Pesach Sheni carbon or
no? Order? We're talking about the korbanos that he brings at the end of his nazirus. He brings three korbanos over there: an oila, a shlomim, an oila, a chatas, a shlomim. So so we're talking about those korbanos.
Become tummy, he can't bring other ones to replace it.
He could, but the problem, part of the problem is if he shaved thinking that these korbanos are kosher and then it turns out that he's possible, not only he needs to bring new korbanos, but he also needs to grow his hair back for 30 days in order to be able to shave it. But also, if it turns out that he was tamei at the time the korbanos were brought, then he has to do the usual things of a nazir tamei. He has to bring the korbanos of truma instead of the korbanos of tara, and he has to restart his whole nazirus, which fine. If his nazirus is only 30 days, then fine, it's only 30 days. But what if he had said, I'm going to be a nazir for a year, or 7 years, or 10 years, or whatever, then he has to start that all over again. And the tzitz doesn't help with that. That's the point. So the same thing with the nazir, and the same thing with the korban. Now, again, the point is, the nazir and the korban pesach are two cases where they have to be tahor at the time their korban is brought, because they have to be able to eat from their korban. They have to be able to wave. In the case of the nazir, he has to be able to wave his korban. He has to be able to eat it, whatever. So therefore, if he's tamei at the time and the tzitz doesn't help, then that's it. Then he has to start his nazirus all over. Or in the case of Pesach, he has to bring a Pesach sheni. On the other hand, we're saying if the blood of the korban was tamei, then the tzitz helps again, according to the Yehuda, only when the tzitz is on the kohen gadol's forehead, according to the Shimon, anytime as long as the tzitz exists, as we talked about the other day. Anyway, the point is that then that'll help, and therefore the korban is b'dieved kosher. Now, we have another wrinkle, though, the Gemara brings in, nitma tumas hatahoim hatzitz meratza. What happens if he was tamei, tumas haguf, but it was tumas hatahoim? Tumas hatahoim, we're going to learn in more detail in the Gemara, is a tumas mess that nobody ever knew about before. Actually, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, there can be tumas hatahoim when it comes to other cases of tumah as well. It means that nobody knew about it. So therefore, and now it's a halacha, l'moshe m'sinai, that in these cases of nazir and oisa pesach, even though tumas hatahoim, objectively, they are tamei, and they do have to be sprinkled with paradum or water, etc., but nevertheless, the fact that they were only tamei with the tumas hatahoim at the time that their korban was brought, we're saying that nevertheless, halacha, l'moshe m'sinai tells us that that the korban is good. So Rashi explains over here. Rashi brings from Tesefta, although the Girsa that Rashi has is a little bit off. Agoris Agro and Agoris Ma'arav Ranchburg correct it. That it goes like this: if they tell him that if they tell him before he made his korban Pesach, or before he brought his korbanos of a nazir, they told him that you know what, there was a caver in the house where you went into, or under the stone that you were, or whatever. If he finds, so then he has to bring a new korban Pesach or a new korbanos of a nazir, whether it's before or after he brought his korban Pesach. Even if he found about it only afterwards, the fact is it was a known tumah. Other people knew about it, and even though they only told him after he brought his Pesach, nevertheless, he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. On the other hand, if it was a Tumas HaTahoim, so it was only discovered afterwards, so then it depends whether he brought his Korbanos yet or not. If he hadn't brought his Korbanos yet, then yes, he has to bring Pesach Sheni, or his Korbanos of another Tomei and restart his Nazirus. But if he had already brought his Korbanos and then they discovered this Tumas HaTahoim, then he doesn't need to bring Pesach Sheni, and then he doesn't need to restart his Nazirus. So Tumas HaTahoim we'll talk about in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow, but meanwhile, let's talk about the first part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Taima de Nizrak v'achakach noida. Now, what are you telling me? We're saying the first case of the Mishnah is, you sprinkle the blood, then you discover that the blood was Tomei. And then we're saying that the tzitz helps for it. So Taima de Nizrak v'achakach noida. So we're saying it only works because you sprinkle the blood, and only then you discover that the blood was Tomei. The implication is that if you knew beforehand that the blood was Tomei, and then you sprinkled it on the Mizbeach, then even the tzitz doesn't help, and therefore you'd have to bring Pesach Sheni. So the problem with that is Uraminu. I have a contradiction to that. A Braisa says, Al Maha Tzitz Meratza, what is the Tzitz Meratza for? What does it help to make a korban kosher? Al Adam Bala Bosav Al Chelev Shenitma, about the blood of the korban that became Tomei, or the meat, or the Chelev. This has to do with what we talked about the other day. We talked about the other day about the question of whether the Tzitz is Meratza on Achilois, whether it makes it that the edible parts of the korban are considered as though they were tahor, and therefore that was still able to sprinkle the blood. That was, we said, according to Rabbi Yeshua, primarily, who said that you can't sprinkle the blood unless the basar and the chalev exist. And in the case of the korban pesach, dafka the basar, according to Rabbi Yezer, who said over there that dam af bichain basar, you don't really need the tzitz to be meratza for the basar so much. Although we said over there, you do, because even according to Rabbi Yezer, we said that tzitz makes it that now this korban is able to become pigul, or that me'ila will go away once the blood is sprinkled. Anyway, so it says that, so it works for the blood or the meat or the chalev that became Tomei, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, whether this happened b'shoigig or b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'rotzen, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur, and whether this is b'yachid or b'tzibur. By the way, now what's the difference between b'mezid and b'rotzen? Rashi says earlier in the Masechta, there isn't really a difference, but when we talk about shoigig, which means that he was careless, then the opposite of shoigig is mezid. When we talk about onus, like it was an unavoidable situation, like for example, a sheretz just fell into it from nowhere, then the opposite of onus is rotzen. But it really only means those three possibilities: onus, shoigig, and deliberately. Anyway, we see the Braise is saying that tzitz helps even if it was deliberate. So meaning, in other words, preposterous, even if you knew in advance that the blood was Tomei and you sprinkled it knowing that it was Tomei, nevertheless, this Braise is saying that tzitz helps. So what are you telling? Why is the Mishnah implying that not? That it only works if you didn't know ahead of time. So Amar Ravina, so Ravina says what it means is Tum Osai Ben Meshegi Ben Memezid. What it means is, when is the korban going to be acceptable? What does the tzitz help? If the tumah of the blood happened, whether b'shoigig or b'mezid or b'onus or whatever, then so it became tomei, but it became tomei b'shoigig or b'mezid or whatever. But when you sprinkled that it was b'shoigig, you didn't know that it was tomei. That's when hurtza zrikosai. But when it comes to sprinkling it, b'shoigig hurtza b'mezid like hurtza. If you didn't know at the time of the sprinkling that it's tomei, then the tzitz helps. But if you knew that it was tomei and you sprinkled it anyway, then the tzitz doesn't help. So when the Mishnah is saying over here shenizrak domei v'achakach noidashu tomei, it means only then you discovered that it was tomei. Previously, you didn't know it was tomei. If you knew that it was Tomei and sprinkled it, then it doesn't matter how it became Tomei, then it's no good. That's how Ravina learns. Rav Shila says the other way around. Zurikase ben meshoigig ben memezid hurtza. When you sprinkle it, then the Braisa that we just quoted about the tzitz says that it works even if you sprinkle it b'mezid, knowing that the blood was tamei. But tum also b'shogeg hortza b'mezid lo hortza. When it comes to the tuma on when it comes to the tuma, what we're saying is it only works if it became tamei b'shogeg, but not if it became tamei b'mezid. So according to the b'shila, so in other words, if you were matame the blood b'mezid, and then you sprinkled it b'shogeg, not knowing that it was tamei. Or the other way, then Rav Shila would say, so you were matame at b'mezid, so Rav Shila would say that's no good. The tzitz won't help for that. You did the sprinkling b'shogeg. Doesn't matter because the tumah was done b'mezid. Whereas Ravina would say exactly the other way around. Since the sprinkling was done b'shogeg, then we don't really care how the tumah happened. There's a Tosfos in a different Gemara in Yevamos. It brings this discussion in a different context over there. And Tosfos explains over there that the reason behind the svaras is there's a svara to say that we should be more machmir on how it became tomei, because after all, that's the beginning of the whole thing. There's a svara, on the other hand, to say that we should be machmir on the sprinkling, because after all, that's what you're supposed to do with the blood. You're supposed to sprinkle on the mezbeach, and it's a gnai to be doing that, to be doing that b'mezid. So therefore, that results in this machlokas of Ravina and Rav Shila. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ela hod katani ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid. So according to Rav Shila, how do you understand the ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid of the Braisa? He means, hachi kama. He says, what it means is, nitma b'shogeg, only if the blood became tummy, b'shogeg, v'zorko ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, then if you sprinkle it, whether b'shogeg or b'mezid, then hurtza, then it's acceptable because of the tzitz. But it has to be that the tumah, according to Rav Shila, took place b'shogeg.
Well, tell me,
so then, v'hodikatoni dam shenizrak v'akakach noida. Then let's go back to our Mishnah where we said that the blood was sprinkled, and then you found out that it was tamei. So the problem with that is, according to the Bshila, time of the nizrak v'akakach noida. So again, you're saying the implication is it's only kosher because you only found out afterwards, meaning that the zrika was done b'shogeg with tamei blood. Aval noida v'akakach nizrak loy. It seems from the Mishnah that if you first found out that it was tamei and then you sprinkled it, then it would be no good. Now, according to Ravina, that works. According to Rav Shila, why would it matter? According to Rav Shila, it doesn't matter whether the zrika is done b'mezid, as long as the tumah was b'shogeg. So how would Rav Shila understand the implication of our Mishnah? The answer is, Rav Shila would say, No, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah is not implying that it's only in the one case where you sprinkled it and then you found out that the blood was tamei. It would actually work the other way around as well, even if you sprinkled it knowing that it was tamei, as long as the original tumah took place for shogeg. The reason why the Mishnah phrases it this way, Mishum deboila misne sefer nitma aguf einat tzitz meratza, Rav Shila would say it's only because it's by way of introduction to the next part of the Mishnah, which continues, Nitma aguf einat tzitz meratza, where if the person himself was tamei, then the tzitz doesn't help and he has to bring Pesach Sheni. Da'afilu nizrak v'achakach noidaloi. Now that applies even if the blood was sprinkled and then he discovered he was tamei, as long as it wasn't tumas hatahoim, as we said in the Mishnah, then he does have to bring Pesach Sheni. So as we said, as the scenario that Rashi said, where they sprinkled the blood of his korban Pesach, later on people came and told him, you should know the house that you previously went into earlier today happened to have a mess in it. You may not have realized it at the time, but we knew that mess was there. We just didn't have a chance to tell you until now. So then it doesn't matter. We still have spring Pesach Sheni. When he really sprinkled the blood, he didn't know. Doesn't matter, because the fact is it is a known tumor, and therefore he is chayav to bring Pesach Sheni, and he's not Yotze, the Pesach Rishon. So there it doesn't matter. So there that applies even if the blood was sprinkled first. Therefore, Rav Shila would say, to keep it parallel, the first part of the Mishnah talks about even where you sprinkled the blood and then found out that it's tamei. But in fact, according to Rav Shila, it's fine in the Reisha. If you knew the blood was tamei and sprinkled it, you're still Yotze, because the tzitz will help for that, as long as the blood became tamei originally misafik. And not misafik, b'shogeg rather. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Nitma Tumas HaTahoim B'chola. We said, on the other hand, if the Nazir or the person making the Korban Pesach was Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim. So, Boi Rami Bachoma. So Rami Bachoma has a question in that connection regarding Tumas HaTahoim. We're saying that the person himself, we're saying that the Nazir or the Oisa Pesach, if it turns out that he was tummy with Tumas HaTahoim when the blood was sprinkled, then even if he finds out, he just later on they discover that Tumas HaTahoim, nevertheless, he's potter from making a Pesach Sheni or potter from bringing new Karbonus of a Nazir. But Boi Rami Bachoma wants to know, Koyen Amaratz of a Karbonus Sehen. What about the Koyen who's actually bringing the Karbonus of the Nazir or the Pesach? Does this heter, does this halacha l'moshe b'Sinai about tumas hatahoim apply to him also? So if he sprinkled, if he did the avoidus of the korban of the nazir or the pesach, later on it turned out that he was tummy with tumas hatahoim at the time. Do we say the korbanos are good or not? Do we say that maybe we learn the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai about tumas hatahoim only about the owner of the korban? Maybe we never learned about it applying to the koyin. Or maybe we learned about it that in connection with the korban. Anything in connection with the korban where there's tumas hatahoim, then we say that if you only discovered it afterwards, then it's fine. So it wouldn't matter whether the koyin was tummy with tumas hatahoim or the owner, as long as we didn't know about it at the time that he did, at the time the korban was brought, and we only, or not only we didn't know that he was tummy, but we didn't even know that this mess exists, and we only discovered it later. So maybe it would be good. So what is it? Amar Rava Toshma. So Rava says here, I'll bring you a proof. The Tani Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya Torah Braisa. Loy Amr Tumas HaTahoim Elo LeMess Bilvad. The concept of Tumas HaTahoim only applies to a mess, not to other Tumas. Now Rashi Bichlau uses the expression over here that Tumas HaTahoim in effect is Tumas Suffolk. In effect, what we mean when we're going to talk about Tumas HaTahoim means that there's a Suffolk. You only find out, you only discover later on that there was a Tumah over here. So mess lamauti mai. Now, what do we mean a mess as opposed to what kind of tumah? Lav lamauti tumah satahoim de sheretz. L'chora, we're coming to exclude the case where there's tumah satahoim of a sheretz, where a person became tumah with a sheretz that was unknown and then discovered it only afterwards. Now, Tosfa says, I mean, how do you have that anyway? A sheretz is not matame ba'oihel. So it's not like if you stand over, it's not like if you stand on the ground in which a dead, within which a dead sheretz is buried, you're going to become tumah. So Tosfa says, okay, let's say you're talking about, let's say you have a pile of dirt over there. You have a pile of dirt over there. You stuck in your hand, and later on you discover that there was a sheretz inside that pile of dirt. So that would be tumas hatahoim of a sheretz. Now, if we're saying, if Rav Chiya is telling us that tumas hatahoim only applies to a mess, the implication is not a sheretz. And continues Rav over Maya Skinnan. So then you have to ask, what case are we talking about? Ilema b'baylim. Oh, so Bepashtus, we have to assume, let's start by assuming that you're talking about, it means the owner became tummy with Tumas HaTahoim of a Sheretz. Well then, Uvaman. So now, are we talking about the Nazir or are we talking about the Oisa Pesach? Ibn Nazir, if you're talking about a Nazir, who cares? Mimahani Bey. Who cares if he becomes tummy with a Sheretz? Ki Yomus Mes Olav HaRachmana. The Pasuk says he only has to bring new Karbonus and start his Nazirus over, only if he becomes tummy Mes. Tummy Sheretz doesn't affect him at all. Ela Ba'Oisa Pesach. Obviously, therefore, we have to say the Braiso would be referring to somebody who's making a Korban Pesach. Well, then, the Braiso would be well understood according to the opinion, like we said before, Rav, for example, holds this way, that you can't shech the Korban Pesach and bring it on behalf of a Tomei Sheretz. He's going to be Tahor that evening and able to eat the Korban Pesach that evening. Doesn't matter. Right now, Erev Pesach, at the time of the Shchita, he's Tomei, or even if he Tovled earlier in the day, he's still a Tvul Yoim. So therefore, you can't shecht for him. So then you could say, okay, what the Braisa is telling us is that if this person, so he stuck his hand into a pile of dirt, he didn't know there was a sheretz in there, he went and brought his Korban Pesach, later on he discovers that there was a sheretz in that pile of dirt, we're saying no good, and he needs to bring a Pesach Sheni. But if you say, like we said before, for example, that Ula holds that you could bring the Korban Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz, well, then what's the Chiddush? You're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach for him even if he's Tomei from a known Sheretz. Tumas HaTahoim like Kol Shekin. Wouldn't it be all the more so if it was a Tumas HaTahoim where there's more reason to be Mekel? So therefore, obviously, this Braisa cannot be talking about the Bailam at all. Well, at least if we say that Shechten Al Tomei Sheretz, that you can Shech the Korban Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz, because again, the Braisa can not be referring to a nazir at all, because a nazir becoming tummy with a sheretz doesn't matter, doesn't affect the kashrus of his karbonos. it has to be talking about an Oysa Pesach. But if we say that you could bring the Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz, then of course, then of course you could bring it for him. What's a, what is the Braisa saying? That it does, what is the Braisa saying? That he'd have to bring Pesach Sheni. Ela lav v'koyin. Therefore, Rava says, by elimination, it must be the Braisa is talking about the Koyin becoming Tomei with a Tumas HaTahoyim of a Sheretz, Ushmamino Hutrole Tumas HaTahoyim. So therefore, the Braisa would be saying, you know what? We allow him Tumas HaTahoyim, but only when it was Tumas Mes, not when it was Tumas Sheretz. So in this exact scenario, the Koyin stuck his hand into a pile of dirt, went and brought somebody's Korban Pesach, later on discovered that he was Tomei because there was a Sheretz in that pile, then it doesn't work and the person has to bring a Pesach Sheni. So therefore, but in other words, but if the same thing happened with Tumas Mes, where the Kohen walked someplace or walked into a house or whatever, later on after he brought the other guy's Pesach, we discovered that actually there was a mess in there, which nobody ever knew about before, which is the definition of Tumas HaTahoyim, then it would be good. So you see, therefore, that Tumas HaTahoyim works even for the Kohen, which would answer Rami Bahama's question. Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, Loi, not necessarily, because you're assuming that the only possibilities we're talking about over here are Tumas Mes and Tumas Sheretz, but no. La'olam b'bailim over Pesach, we are talking about the owner of the korban. We are talking about the korban Pesach. You're right, it can't be talking about a nazir, but it is talking about the owner of the korban Pesach, not the kohen. Olam oti, Tumas HaTahoyim d'ziva. But what the Braisa could be excluding is not Tumas HaTahoyim of a Sheretz. Maybe, in fact, the Braisa is not addressing Tumas HaTahoyim of a Sheretz. The Braisa is addressing a suffix, a Tumas HaTahoyim of Ziva. Now, how do you have Tumas HaTahoyim of Ziva? So Rashi over here explains that, let's say, for example, it's the seventh day of the Zav's counting. Now, we know he has to count seven clean days, and then at the end of it, he tovels, and then the next day he brings his korban. What happens if on the seventh day he toiveled, then now conceivably later that day he might have another emission of Ziva? If he did that, he's going to have to start his counting all over again. That amounts to Tumas HaTahoyim, because now at this point, after he toiveled, we have no way of knowing in advance what's going to happen later that day. So therefore, it's like Tumas HaTahoyim, and nevertheless, the Braisa would be saying that nevertheless, that doesn't work as far as him bringing a Korban Pesach. If they shechted the Korban Pesach for him, and later that day he ended up having Ziva again, then we would say that he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. But not necessarily is the Braisa at all talking about the Kohen who brings the Korban Pesach. Rashi in Zvachim, this Gemara is also in Zvachim, Rashi over there brings a different possibility of Tumas HaTahoyim of a Zav. Let's say he had Ziva Ben Ashmoshes, and then the next day he had Ziva again, and therefore we have a suffix whether he's a Zav or not. You need two times in order to become a Zav, and like this, if one of them was Ben Ashmoshes, it's a suffix in itself, whether it was on two different days, which would make him a Zav, or whether it was all within the one day, and therefore he's not yet a Zav. So that would be another example of Tumas HaTahoyim of Ziva. Whatever the case, Rabbi Yosef is saying, the Braisa could be implying that that's the kind of thing we don't apply Tumas HaTahoyim for. We would say, nevertheless, the fact is, he is Tomei at the time of the shechting of the Korban Pesach, therefore, or at the time of the sprinkling of the blood or whatever, therefore, even though we didn't know in advance that that was going to happen, nevertheless, he has to bring Pesach Sheni, but not necessarily is the Braisa addressing Tumas Sheretz at all, and not necessarily is the Braisa addressing the Tumah of the Koyan at all. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.